KGRGFM, KGRGFM, HD1, Auburn, also broadcasting on K207 AP, Sumner Lake Taps, 89.3 FM. You're listening to The Buzz, and I need help figuring out some sort of phenomena. So, there's this whole thing about, it's pretty common, like, you put socks in a dryer, very rarely will you ever end up, like, keeping them together, right? What about Tupperware, though? Last night, I ended up waking up late. We ended up doing dinner late before I had to go to work, so I ended up having to take dinner with me to work. Tried to find Tupperware, couldn't find any. And this was after my girlfriend and I went to Costco and bought, like, a bulk-sized thing of Tupperware, I guess you'd call it. Like, giant various sizes, different lids, everything. She even bought a really nice glass set a couple weeks ago, the glass that's currently in use. But the rest of the plastic ones were like, where the hell did it go? So if you can help me explain this phenomenon, call me at 253-833-5004. I will toss you a free pair of August Burns Red tickets. That's right, we have a pair of August Burns Red tickets to give away. That's going to be January 20th at El Corazon. So stay tuned for that this morning. We got your geeky news coming up in about 17 minutes. We got your regular news. We've got Hashed Out this morning. We've got our brand new segment that we introduced last week on Thursday. Still coming up with the name. If you want to help me out with a name for it, tweet at us, @TheBuzzKGRG, or send us a message on Facebook, same thing, @TheBuzzKGRG. Let's get into it. We got your geeky news coming up next after Sell It by Real Big Fish on 89.9 KGRG FM. You're listening to The Buzz.
Geeky news. Geeky news. Geeky news. Geeky news.
Geeky news. 89.9 KGRG FM. You're listening to The Buzz. It's 6:20, so that means it's time for your geeky news. Like we do every morning around this time. Yeah, it's the thing we do. First thing we're going to get to is a geeky news story we got to last week, or at least we started talking about last week, about Woody Harrelson possibly being in the running for a Star Wars role for the Han Solo movie. And it looks like it's been confirmed. Yeah, they officially came out on StarWars.com with directors Phil Lord and Christopher Miller announcing that Woody Harrelson has been cast in an unknown role so far in the untitled spinoff, though it's probably going to be something, a Han Solo movie. It'd be weird if it wasn't named after Han Solo, right? But on top of his acting career and his acting ability, apparently he's pretty good at ping pong. But yeah, this has been a rumor for a few weeks now, and really excited. Like I said, I really like him, and it took me a while to find those roles that I liked him in. He was my favorite part of the Hunger Games, for example. And then Danica also brought up he was in Zombieland, which is also a fantastic movie. So he's got some range, and he's really funny. He's a really funny dude. So I'm excited to see him continuing his career, and I'm excited to see him in a Star Wars movie. Next news story we have, more casting news. This one, it's just a rumor, not actually confirmed yet, but Peter Dinklage is in early talks to join in the next Avengers movie, which is going to be Infinity Wars. Game of Thrones star Peter Dinklage is in talks to join Marvel Cinematic Universe in Joe and Anthony Russo's Avengers Infinity War. Dinklage is an incredible actor, and his talents were completely wasted in X-Men Apocalypse. Yeah, I don't get why he was in that movie. He didn't do anything for it. There's no information on who he would be playing if he does take the part, but THR confirms that the character he's considering to play will be a major one, and will also appear in Marvel's untitled fourth Avengers film. It's hard to even speculate who Dinklage will be playing because there are so many characters in the Marvel Universe to choose from. So, I'm interested. Let me know what your thoughts are on who you think Peter Dinklage might be. I honestly don't know. My area of expertise, if you could call it, is more in the DC realm, and it'll be interesting. I know that there's the bald dude with the giant head that sits in a chair, but it'd be weird because he's supposed to be omnipotent and all that junk, so we'll see. Next news story we have, we'll keep it in the realm of comics at least. Ares has been revealed as the main villain in Wonder Woman, and that's somebody who was wondering if he was going to pop up or not. And it makes sense. You have World War II, one of the easily biggest wars in human history, apart from, like, the Civil War, but unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on your stance, Wonder Woman wasn't involved with that. So seeing Ares pop up in a movie set in wartime, it makes sense. But Ares the God of War will be the main adversary to overcome in the upcoming Wonder Woman film. A comic book snapped a translation from a French film site confirming the news that reads as follows. Quote, behind these scientific formulas, there is a deadly gas that could annihilate humanity. Now it turns out this is precisely the goal of Ares, the God of War. He's jealous of humanity, which is a creation of his father, the deceased Zeus. He was killed by Ares when he rebelled against him with the help of the Amazons. So it'll be interesting to see where he pops up and how this stacks up against Thor and his gods. Because there's definitely parallels between the two, right? You have Thor and Odin and all them, and now you're introducing the more mythical end of Wonder Woman, which is something that nobody's really explored before. She's always been sort of a supporting character, with her villains being sort of limited to, like, Cheetah and stuff like that, or she'll help out with other people's villains. Last news story we'll have for this morning, we'll go into some Disney news. Will Smith is in talks to join Tim Burton's Dumbo movie, which is a sentence I'd never want to say again. I don't need a live-action Tim Burton's Dumbo movie, I'm sorry. But Disney is looking to cast Will Smith in the adaptation of Dumbo. The film will be based on Disney Classics' 1941 animated film. The report says that the studio is moving aggressively towards a production start, but there's not much information on what Burton's plans are with this adaptation. If you've seen the original Dumbo, then I'm sure you have a pretty good idea on how the story will play out. Of course, I imagine the director will be taking some creative liberties to put his own unique styles and spin on the story about a circus elephant with huge ears who learns how to fly. Probably going to end up with Johnny Depp in it too, but I don't need Tim Burton's Dumbo. I'm sorry. Like, I heard the Jungle Book remake was really good. I still haven't watched it on Netflix. It's on my, like, to-watch list. But I don't know, man. Call me at 253-833-5004. Or hit me up on Facebook, on Twitter. I'm going to post the link. And let me know, do you need a Tim Burton's Dumbo movie? You can keep it. That's my personal opinion. Stay tuned. After Thrown by Bring Me the Horizon, we have your news on 89.9 KGRG-FM. You're listening to The Buzz.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news. Breaking news.
Breaking news. Breaking news.
This hour's news is brought to you by KGRG presents August Burns Red on their 10-year anniversary of Messengers. Joined by Protest the Hero in Hearts Wake in 68 on Friday, January 20th at El Corazon. Visit KGRG.com and the concert calendar for more information. Or you can call right now, 253-833-5004. Get your hand on a sweet pair of August Burns Red tickets and be an awesome show.
Woo!
But let's go ahead and get into your news for this hour. We're going to keep it food related. I like themes. Or I'm mildly OCD. Take a pick. But this morning we're going to start off with the Taco Bell. That's right. They're going national with their fried chicken taco shell. If that's not going to ruin your breakfast, I don't know what is. I'm sorry. That doesn't sound pleasant. But Taco Bell plans to go nationwide this month with its latest concoction, a taco shell made entirely out of fried chicken. Taco Bell says the shell of the naked chicken chalupa is made up of all white seasoned chicken. The rest of the taco is packed with lettuce, tomatoes, cheddar cheese, and avocado ranch sauce. The fast food chain says the taco tested well in markets in Bakersfield, California, and Kansas City, Missouri over the past 2 years, where the population probably just sort of died off. Or they're entirely filled with stoners. Who knows? It's supposed to be available at Taco Bell's across the country on January 26th. 2017. So that's going to be next week, or 2 weeks from now. 2 weeks from now, you can go get your chicken taco filled with beef, and that just sounds like a rabbi's worst nightmare. Because I know there's the whole thing about being kosher and how you can't have, like, beef and cheese at the same time because two different cows, but, like, chicken and beef and also cheese? If that doesn't kill you, yeah, oh my god. I might try one. I don't know. We'll see. I'm not a big fan of ranch. Avocado, sure. Ranch, no. And if you hate me for it, call me at 253-833-5004, and I will tell you how much I don't care about your opinion of ranch. It's the worst condiment ever. Next news story we got. DNA from pizza slice leads Stewart police to a burglary suspect. A hungry Stewart man's bite from a slice of pizza led to his arrest this week on a burglary charge. City police arrested Jamar Macri, 27, Thursday after DNA results from a leftover slice of pizza allegedly linked him to a residential burglary from September. The alleged burglary took place on September 30th at a home on Dara Drive, north of Montlery Road and west of Kinnear Highway. According to police, Macri entered the house, took a slice of pizza from a Mario's Pizza box in the garage, and proceeded to the game room. In the game room, he took two iPads, an Xbox One game system, and a bite from a slice of pizza. A Stewart detective swatted the bite mark from the pizza and sent it to the crime lab for DNA analysis. A search of the combined DNA index system identified Macri as a suspect. He was booked into the Martin County Jail on Thursday and is being held without bail. As he should be, he didn't finish his pizza. Like, if you're going to be stupid enough to leave that kind of evidence, like, rule number one that I learned from watching Ocean's 11, right? Because one of my favorite heist movies ever. Yeah, don't leave fingerprints. They also covered that in Gone in 60 Seconds. And just, you don't leave physical evidence in general, man. You deserve to be held without bail just for not finishing your freaking pizza, you moron. Aye. Last news story we got for you this morning, or at least for this hour. A man is accused of burglarizing a Townsend pizza store nude. Another pizza-related crime. Awesome. Authorities have arrested a man who they say burglarized a Townsend pizza shop in the nude earlier this month. Baltimore County Police said in a statement that 23-year-old Jonathan K. Newman had been charged with second-degree burglary following the November 10th break-in into Slice Pizza. Police say that Newman's pants ripped off as he entered the store from a roof vent. Video footage shows the suspect then took off his shirt to cover his face, as one does. Store owner Yanni Ritzes says tells WBAL-TV that there was no money in the cash register, but the suspect still caused thousands of dollars in damage to the store. It is not immediately clear whether Newman has an attorney. So, the worst part about burglaries isn't just the fact that you lose a ton of money and whatever gets stolen. Typically, that stuff's covered by insurance, right? It's the amount of damage you cause to get into these places. It's breaking a window. It's entering through the roof. It's breaking locks. Even if you don't break the locks, the business owner has to replace the locks anyways. So you're causing a lot more harm than good on top of taking money directly out of these people's pockets and paychecks. It's not cool. Especially a pizza place. An independently run pizza place. We here at The Buzz support local businesses, especially ones that make pizza. And if you make pizza, call me at 253-833-5004. I'll give you my address so you can deliver me pizza. But, yeah, don't leave the pizza alone. Just leave the pizza alone. If you're gonna, lesson learned, stick to chicken tacos. And by that, I mean tacos with the chicken, deep-fried chicken shell. If you're going to eat a piece of pizza, you eat it. You don't just take a bite out of it. You finish that ish. And just don't rob a pizza place. Don't do it. I'll come after you personally. That was your news for this hour. Stay tuned. We have some fun facts coming up next. And we're going to get sports related with them. Because, you know, football playoffs and whatnot. This is The Buzz on 89.9 KGRG FM.
This my house.
I know what you really want.
You're cordially invited, bitch.
This is Fun Facts.
Cork.
Ready for some facts?
That's right. It's Fun Facts with Cork this morning. Our little pancake needs to come back, though. Not sure what she's doing. I remember she was supposed to come back recently, and then, like, she had into some sort of car wreck or something, so. That's what she gets for being short, right? But it's time to get into some fun facts. This morning, we're going to do some fun facts about the Seattle Seahawks because they're still in the playoffs. They're playing against the Atlanta Falcons this weekend. And why not talk about them while you still can, right? And there's a lot of football news going on. You have the college football season finally ended with their championship game with a huge upset there. You have the San Diego Chargers. They end up being announced that they're moving to L.A., to be with the Rams and possibly Raiders. So you have like three different teams over there. So why not talk some football, right? So fun facts about the Seattle Seahawks. first fun fact we have for you this morning. Seattle didn't invent the Seahawks moniker. A now-defunct Miami-based pro football team briefly used it in the 1940s, so it wasn't even their thing. Which is interesting. Next fun fact about your Seattle Seahawks. Rejected name ideas by the locals included the Seattle Running Salmon. No, thank you. That just makes me think of, like, really bad salmon, like, salmon cream cheese that went bad and gave you the runs. You have the Seattle Rain Themes. If you didn't want to sound sissy enough, there you go. And then you have the Seattle Pachyderms. No, thank you. And then the last one also included the Washington Georges. And not to be confused with the George Washingtons. Next fun fact we have about the Seattle Seahawks. Seahawks coach Pete Carroll has only had one non-football job. After college, he sold wood products. Oh my. For a building materials company. He said he botched it up so bad that he didn't have any other... He didn't really have a future in it. And, you know, I understand that. Retail's not for everybody. Next Seattle Seahawks fun fact. On November 4th, 1979, Seattle orchestrated what's been called the worst offensive performance in league history by amassing a negative 7 yards during a 24-0 loss to the Los Angeles Rams. That's hard to think would be possible. I don't know, man. Like, especially after, like, the Browns, where you haven't won a game in well over a season. I don't know, man. Next fun fact we have. There's my sound effect. Even by Seattle standards, February 2nd, 1996 was a pretty dark day. Seahawks owner Ken Behrings announced that he'd soon move the team to LA and was met with region-wide outrage. Behrings even received death threats. But the Seahawks never migrated. Microsoft co-founder Paul Allen bought the team and voters pushed for a brand new stadium. That's where you end up with what used to be Quest Field, now a CenturyLink Field. I don't get what it is about LA and why so many football teams want to move there. Even teams that are currently in California want to move to LA. I understand as far as the TV market goes, it's a pretty big market. But who's the home team when you have three different teams playing in the same freaking stadium? Also, you have to think about TV rights, right? If you have one LA team who's actually at home, and then you have another LA team who's out, let's say, playing Denver, what's going on with that TV deal there? Next fun fact we have for you. CenturyLink Field is notoriously loud. How loud can it get? Loud enough to set a Guinness World Record in 2013, admitted the loudest crowd roar at a sports stadium ever documented by generating 137.6 decibels worth of full-throated cheering. And if you've ever been there, the architects actually designed the stadium to be loud. And why would you want the stadium to be loud? You get an increased home field advantage, which is big. Obviously, teams feel more comfortable when they're playing at home because it's where they practice. But practicing in a loud environment gives you the chance to trip up the other team and get a bunch of false starts. For example, another fun fact. The Seahawks are collectively known as the team's quote-unquote 12th man. A bunch noted for its rowdiness, the sheer volume of the deafening home crowd helped force the visiting New York Giants commit 11 false start penalties back in 2005. Eli Manning's G-men were ultimately vanquished, and as a token of gratitude, Seattle head coach Mike Holmgren dedicated the game ball to none other than the 12th man. So that's where it all started. And like I said, it's the way that the stadium's designed. You have the concrete floors plus the way the roof is constructed. It's sort of curved so that when people are yelling, if they're yelling up, the sound gets reflected back onto the field. So it's part the crowd being loud, part just being loud by the sign. But that was your football-themed fun facts for this morning about the Seattle Seahawks. Again, they're going to be playing against the Atlanta Falcons, and This is going to be a rough one for me. I'm not a Falcons fan, but I have a lot of family who live in Georgia, so they're obviously going to be rooting for the Falcons while I'm always going to be a home team dude and root for the Seahawks. And then I have a weird cousin down there in Carolina who's rooting for Green Bay. And I don't need that either. You're listening to The Buzz on 89.9 KGRG FM. Stay tuned. We got Hash It Out coming up next after Panic at the Disco. Don't threaten me with a good time.
It's time to see what weird and crazy things are trending out there in the Twitterverse. This is Hash It Out, right here on The Buzz.
89.9 KGRG FM. You're listening to The Buzz. It's time for a little Hash It Out where we find those hashtags that are trending on Twitter. You know, the ones used, they're used to start conversations. Still convinced that hash browns are better. But you can let me know. Call 253-833-5004 or play along on Twitter and Facebook by searching for @TheBuzzKGRG. First hashtag we have for this morning is hashtag IHateWaitingFor. So, things you hate waiting for. Personally, I can wait for the weather. I can't wait for the weather to finally warm up. I'm not built for these cold climates. I'm a rather skinny dude. I finally broke like 140 this year, so it's a pretty big milestone for me. But we have hashtag I hate waiting for the good part of Bohemian Rhapsody. You know the one. Well, you know what, Stephanie? I don't know the one. The entire song's a good part of the song. It's the entire song. I don't care. You shut up, Stephanie. Next one we have, hashtag I hate waiting for the other shoe to drop. Honestly, most terrifying feeling in the world. When you're, like, walking downstairs or you're walking towards some sort of ledge, especially in the dark. If you're walking down the stairs in the dark in, like, an unfamiliar house, and you start walking, you get close to the stairs, and you overshoot a step, and you wait for your foot to drop, or even if you're carrying something, and, like, so it's something large, you can't see your feet or where you're going, your foot misses a step going down, and you're waiting for it to just hit that next step, worst feeling in the world. My stomach always just sort of drops, and I'm just like, this is how I die. This is how I go. Cork's gonna break his neck having to pee. Next one we have, hashtag I hate waiting for Firefly Season 2. It's been years. Yeah, buddy, you're gonna keep waiting. It's gonna be a little bit. Hashtag I hate waiting for a new season of a series I'm watching. It always seems like it's a lifetime. Yeah, and I think it's only been made worse by mid-season finales. And I understand why mid-season finales exist, or at least mid-season breaks exist, especially during the winter, because as big, doesn't matter to the show that you are, as big as you are, it's going to be relatively impossible for you to compete with things like college football playoffs or professional football playoffs. You also have the NBA. There's a lot going on right now. So to try and air a new episode of The Walking Dead on Sundays and try to compete with regular season games, that's no problem. But trying to compete with the Super Bowl or games that have playoff implications, it's not going to happen. So I can understand it. It sucks, especially since The Walking Dead is only, like, it starts in the fall, goes through winter. So you're stuck with that midseason break. I wish they'd give us something. It's the worst. Hashtag I hate waiting for. Let's see. We'll do this one. We'll do this last one here. Hashtag I hate waiting for my online orders to come in the mail. That's partially the reason why I don't order things on the internet. The other reason why is just I'm really paranoid about, like, my credit card being stolen. But the other thing is stuff to come in the mail. For example, my girlfriend and I ended up having to buy new chargers because we got new phones. And yeah, we went on Amazon, ordered them, and we ordered them slightly after Christmas. We still haven't gotten them yet. It's been well over 3 weeks, and we're still not expected to get them until the 19th. And we didn't ask for the, like, super delayed one, but we didn't ask for next day either. Waiting for stuff in the mail is the worst. Next hashtag we have is hashtag they should give an award for. So, hashtag they should give awards away for fakest fake news. maybe the most convincing fake news. I'd like to see, like, somebody write a story and have people fall for it. Hopefully it's not something brutal, but yeah. Hashtag they should give awards away for being a role model country. For example, they give an example of a left-wing Dutch vegan who moved to Switzerland and is denied a Swiss passport because she's too annoying. Yeah. I don't blame you. Next one we have is hashtag they should give awards for the highest high five. Dude, I give damn good high fives. If you ever see me in person, ask me for a high five. I have people who are afraid to give me a high five. So I challenge you to give me a high five. They're relatively painful. If you walk away not being able to feel your hand, you've walked away lucky. And then the last one for this one, hashtag they should give awards away for anyone in the front row of a presidential press conference for the next 4 years. Yeah. I guess. Last hashtag we have for this morning, hashtag ruin a toy. For example, on this one we have hashtag ruin a toy, sugar-free Candyland. Because what's the point of candy without sugar, right? Hashtag ruin a toy, show me where he tickled you, Elmo. We also have hashtag ruin a toy, Obamacare bears. Yikes. We also have hashtag ruin a toy, Barbie's last dream house on the left. And last one we'll do for this one, we'll do hashtag Michael Bay's Transformers for ruin a toy. That was Hash It Out on 89.9 KJRG FM. You're listening to The Buzz. If you want to win tickets, we still have August Burns Red tickets. Call 253-833-5004 right now. And if you want to play along on Hash It Out, our hashtags for this morning again were hashtag I hate waiting for, so things you hate waiting for. Hashtag they should give awards for. So whether you're trying to be ironic or not, something you think somebody should get an award for. Or hashtag ruin a toy. Try to be as radio friendly as possible, because I'd like to read some of these on air. But you're listening to The Buzz on 89.9 KGRG FM. We'll be back with our brand new segment that I still need help naming, so if you want to call and give me a name, that's 253-833-5004. We'll be back after Heavy Metal Detox by Waves. Getting a little brutal there with August Burns Red on 89.9 KGRG. As back burner. Shout out to Alex listening out there in Puyallup for winning. He won our pair of tickets to August Burns Red this morning. Don't fret though, we have another pair just waiting. We'll see if we give them away though. We'll definitely give them away. Just make sure you're listening to KGRG FM. We might give them away tomorrow morning, might give them away later this afternoon. So always be listening. We've got tons of ticket giveaways pretty much any day of the week. You can just call in and win tickets. So stay tuned into the station in general. But you definitely want to be listening tomorrow morning because we'll have more tickets to give away. It's time for our brand new segment we introduced last Thursday. Still coming up with a name for it because, you know, I suck at names. But think of it this way. You've got a situation in front of you. You get a thing, but in return, something else happens. Typically bad. So, we'll see. I don't know. There's weird people looking at me now. Yeah, I'm talking about you on air. Hi, Quinn. Alright, so first situation we have here. You have one wish, but you have horns growing out of your head. You cannot wish for unlimited wishes, and you cannot wish for anything altering the horns. My condition on this are how brutal are the horns. Because if they look cool, I might keep them and just sort of like hold on to the wish. I'm not even sure what I'd use the wish for. I'm more concerned about the horns. Like, am I just getting tiny little baby goat horns that are popping up underneath my hat and I can still wear hats? Or are these, like, giant, brutal, like, elk antlers or something? Like, am I going to look like a moose? So, I think for the wish alone, having horns would be dope. Not going to lie. I'm down with having the horns. So we're going to go ahead and say yes on that one. 58% of the internet agrees with me. 42% would rather not have horns, but they're no fun. Next situation we have here. Let's go ahead and do this one. You get unlimited amounts of money, but you have to spend it on someone else. So, perfectly okay doing this because I have a significant other. And, you know what, I can just spend it on her and just give her food, and she'll give me food in return because she likes feeding me because I can't cook. Also, we live together, so... Hey, look! You got a new TV! And a new bed! And other stuff that I'm going to also use and mooch off of. But even if I didn't have a significant other, I'd hook up my mom and my brother and family and stuff, right? Like, what else are you going to do with that money? Especially if unlimited money. So we're going to say yes on that one. 78% of the internet agreed, 22% said they would not, and those 22% are jerks. Even if it's just a random person, man. Like, pay for somebody else's Starbucks or something. Be nice. Do a nice gesture. Pay for somebody else's dry cleaning. Do people still do that thing where, like, you pay for the person behind you in the Starbucks line and then that sort of chains off? That was a thing a few years back, and I haven't heard of it since. So, I don't know. Just buy somebody else's coffee, right? Next one we have, you will become very charismatic. Everyone will like you, but you'll become severely unhappy because inside you'll just be an empty shell. I mean, that's me right now. Everybody loves me. Who doesn't love me? Right? And I'm already super charismatic. And I'm already dead inside. So, yeah, nothing changed there. 36% of the internet agreed with me and 64% disagreed. They would rather not be unhappy and dead inside. Despite everyone liking them. That's me right now. It's fine. Next one we have. You can have anything you want in the world, but you have no emotion and any ambition and motivation in you. You can never get them back. So I can have anything I want, but I have no ambition or motivation. That just means I get anything I want. I'm the laziest son of a bitch on the face of the earth. And no emotion? All right, sure, whatever. I'm down for having anything I want. Sounds like a good time to me. 39% of the internet agreed with me on that one. 61% said that they would rather keep their emotions and their ambition and their motivation despite having literally anything in the world they wanted. Like, even free flights to places. That'd be legit. Next situation we have. You'll become the most talented musician who ever lived, but your favorite musician will die, and everyone blames you for his or her death. That's a tough one. That'd be a weird situation to be put in. On one hand, you could go with the any publicity is good publicity, right? So if people are talking about you and how you killed this person, whatever. But what if your favorite musician's already dead? Like, does that count? Call me at 253-833-5004. Let me know. Does it count if your musician's already dead? Because, like, I was born... Like, let's say Kurt Cobain's death. If you were born after Kurt Cobain's death, it was clearly a suicide. Although, if you believe in the conspiracy theories, Courtney Love did it. But how could you be blamed for that? Like, your parents decided to conceive you during you smell like teen spirit, or it smells like teen spirit, and that's your fault? I don't know. 41% of the internet said they would, 59% said they would not. And our last situation for this morning, you'll never become nervous again, but instead of feeling nervous, you'll become angry for no reason. No, thank you. I enjoy being nervous. I'd like to think of it as like a fun quirk I have, right? I get nervous for no reason despite being on the radio constantly, so whatever. So I'd rather deal with being nervous than being angry. I hate being angry, especially for no reason, or like hangry or something. Stay tuned, you're listening to The Buzz on 89.9 KGRG-FM. We got your news coming up next. We're going to keep the sports theme going from our fun facts this morning. So stay tuned for that.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news. Breaking news.
Breaking news.
This hour's news is brought to you by KGRG Presents August Burns Red on their 10-year anniversary tour of Messengers. Joined by Protest the Hero in Hearts Wake in 68, on Friday, January 20th, they'll be playing at El Corazon. For more information, you can visit KGRG.com and check out that sweet, sweet events calendar. We can see all the things we're going to give tickets away for. We already gave away our pair of August Burns Red tickets this morning. but be listening tomorrow morning, and we'll definitely have more tickets to give away.
Woo!
But it's time for your 7 o'clock news. It's already 7, holy cow. And I'm going to keep it sports related. If you missed our fun facts about the Seahawks this morning, you can listen on demand on KGRG.com and the official KGRG FM app shortly after the show. I'll have that all loaded up and ready for you. But we're going to talk some sports balls. That's right. Because it's football season. It's at the end of football season. It's at the most exciting part of football season for a lot of people. Whether or not your team's in the playoffs, it doesn't matter. It's still exciting times. But our first news story actually has to do with the 12th man flag on Blue Friday and how you can actually raise it virtually on your own. It's pretty legit. The Seattle Seahawks fans are invited to raise a virtual 12th man flag on Blue Friday, which is going to be tomorrow for those of you who don't know, to celebrate the playoff run of the Seattle Seahawks. Ahead of Seattle's Saturday divisional playoff game against Atlanta, fans are invited to download or update the Seahawks mobile app on their phones. The app is available for iOS and Android, and here's how you raise your flag. You open up the app, you tap the virtual 12 flag raising button in the featured section on the home screen. Next, you get a 12 flag rally card, or download a flag. You place the flag on a flat surface, point the camera toward the number, and when it shows up, turn up the phone volume and swipe down. Finally, take a picture or video and share it with the hashtags #Seahawks or #WeAre12. So you have to actually have a flag or take a picture of the blue 12-man flag or something like that before you can actually raise it. I thought it was completely virtual. It's more augmented reality. Still cool though, right? In case you missed it earlier when I was talking about it during the fun facts, and ESPN has announced that the San Diego Chargers, have announced a plan to move to LA, that's Los Angeles, despite the fact that they're in San Diego. They're not even moving out of state. Like when the St. Louis Rams moved, they moved from St. Louis. They moved from the Midwest all the way to California. But the deadline for the San Diego Chargers to exercise their opinion to relocate to Los Angeles has been extended for 2 days, although media reports have surfaced Wednesday night that the team plans to move. The Chargers have called a staff meeting for 8 a.m. this morning. A team employee said Wednesday night the employee spoke on condition of anonymity. Wow, I can't say hard words. Because of the sensitivity of the matter, the employee said the topic of the meeting hadn't been divulged. But team chairman Dean Sopranos didn't immediately return a message left at his home. Citing league sources, ESPN.com reported Wednesday night that the Chargers plan to announce as early as this morning that they are moving to Los Angeles. According to a report, the Chargers have notified the NFL commissioner Roger Goodell and the owners of other teams on their intent to move to Los Angeles for the 2017 season. So that's happening this year. They're going to move to LA this year, which again, isn't surprising that's such a short turnaround. And I get the move in terms of ratings. LA, because of the size of the population, means that it's a large TV market, which means you have more revenue at the expense of advertisers. Because it's a bigger market, because there are more people watching the television in LA, you get to sell your ad space for a higher amount. So the business end I get. But then there's also there's a weird part where, so the LA Rams and now the LA Chargers, they both play each other at home, right? It's going to be a divisional game. They're both going to be in the same division. They have to play each other because they're in the same area. Who's the home team? How does that work? Like, somebody who's more fluent in sports ball than I am, if you have two teams both playing in their hometown, who's the home team there? Help me out at TheBuzzKJRG on Twitter, on Facebook, or call 253-833-5004, because that just doesn't make sense. And then if you have the Raiders move too, I don't know, man. Last news story we have, again, more sports-related news. Key Arena teardown is an option according to the new Seattle RFP request. For those who don't know, the city of Seattle is open to tearing down Key Arena, allowing a private developer to build a new NBA and NHL-capable arena in its place. That's the major takeaway from the city of Seattle's new request for proposals that will be issued Tuesday, likely igniting a decade-old debate about where the city should allow a new sports arena to be constructed. A 25-page document obtained by King 5 News here in Seattle outlines a significant detail about what the city is asking of potential developers, while it still technically has a legal agreement with Chris Henson's investment group to build another arena project in SoTo. So this is a weird one, and this is something where I'm surprised Chris Henson didn't go with this first. He's met a majority of his opposition because of where he wants to build his proposed new stadium. He wants to build it near Quest Field and near Safeco Field, where the Seattle Mariners and the Seattle Seahawks play. So he wants to keep all of the sports arenas in the same area. And he wants to bring in an NHL team, and he wants to bring in an NBA team. Now, either way, whether they remodel Key Arena or they build a completely new stadium, the NBA doesn't seem to like Seattle currently, and it doesn't seem like they're going to announce an expansion team anytime soon. So they're sort of waiting for their chicken. They're counting their chickens before they hatch. That's the analogy I wanted to go with. They're doing all these things for a team that doesn't exist yet. As far as the NHL, Seattle has become increasingly more of a hockey town, which has been interesting. And it's been weird that it's been this long for it to happen because we're so close to Canada, right? We're right below Vancouver, BC, and you also have a few NHL teams down there to the south in California, weirdly enough. But hockey's becoming a slowly more popular sport up here. And that one I could see being a little bit more of a more popular idea and a little bit more of a more likely idea. Especially since we have the Thunderbirds also, and the Thunderbirds have been doing really well for themselves lately. So I'd be excited to see an NHL team, an actual professional NHL team, come to Seattle. My interest with Key Arena is if they remodel it, you're losing a giant music venue. A lot of huge, huge names come through Seattle, and when they do, it's at Key Arena. Even Bumbershoot uses Key Arena down there in Seattle every summer. And it'd be cool to have that stadium there, and it'd be cool to continue running concerts there, and it'd be awesome to have an updated venue. Because, to be honest, the venue was made for basketball. It wasn't made for concerts. But having that venue go down during a remodel, you're losing out on a lot of potential shows. Most of the other venues are just sort of standing room only venues here in Washington, or at least in Seattle. So you'd end up moving some of the bigger shows to, like, Showware Center over in Kent, which is, for those of you who don't know, it's about an hour south of Seattle, for those of you listening on the app or KGRG.com who are out of town. So, I don't know. My opinion is, let's build the new arena because we need Key Arena to be a music venue, or at least revamp Key Arena to be more of a music venue. You can hit me up with your opinions on our Twitter and our Facebook, at TheBuzzKGRG, or call 253-833-5004. Still looking for an answer on how the whole football thing works if the Chargers move to LA, and you have the LA Chargers versus the LA Rams. How does that work? You're listening to The Buzz on 89.9 KGRG. We'll be back after I Prevail, Stuck in Your Head.
You're listening to KGRG 89.9 FM, today's rock. Now it's time to sit back, relax, and crack open a six-pack with The Buzz.
Six-pack. 89.9 KGRG FM, you're listening to The Buzz. It's time for our six-pack, our top six list of things that are awesome, not so awesome. This morning's is definitely awesome. It kind of brought me back to when I used to watch cartoons, and they would always be like, set in the distant future of 2016. Or you have Duck Dodgers of the 21st and 22nd and a half century, right? All of these shows that are just set so far into the future that it sounds ridiculous. But when those years actually come up, even with like when it comes to Back to the Future, right? And he goes to the future in the second movie. It's cool to see what people think is going to happen in the future, right? Hovering cars and weird outfits. I love it. So this morning's six pack is our top six list of six crazy futuristic predictions that actually people thought were going to happen. So I'm excited to see what people think about them. Again, my favorite part of cartoons in general. The Simpsons did it. Looney Tunes was really big into it. Our first one We'll go ahead and get into it real quick. I wish it would happen, but number six is somebody predicted that houses will only cost $5,000, but the houses will only last 25 years. In 1950, Popular Mechanics published an article titled "Miracles You'll See in the Next 50 Years." The article suggested that building materials such as wood, brick, and stone would become too expensive by the year 2000, and instead houses would be made from metal, sheets of plastic, and aerated clay. But now houses were supposed to be cheap, costing only $5,000, and weatherproof. But they're also predicted to last only 25 years because there would be no sense in building houses that could last for a century. Household gadgets were predicted to be minimal. For example, it was believed that dishes would be placed into a sink where they'd be dissolved and superheated, or by superheated water at about 121 degrees Celsius, 250 Fahrenheit. The plastics would be made from cheap raw materials such as fruit pits, soybeans, straw, and wood pulp. It was envisioned that the sawdust and wood pulp would by now be converted into sugary foods, and strangely enough, that rayon underwear could be converted into candy. So, I'd be dope to have a $5,000 house, right? Especially if it was made out of cheap materials. They are on the right track, though, a little bit. You have the tiny house phenomena, and to be honest, the more I've watched TV shows and stuff about them, I kind of want one. You have crazy ones that are like two stories. They actually look like little tiny houses on a trailer. Part of me is just like, I want to build one. It shouldn't be that hard, right? And have a truck and tow it around with me wherever I go. And then you also have people making houses out of those giant storage shipping containers. And those also look pretty neat. And then they'll just like set them up by a lake or something. And there you go. Now you have a house. Number five. Keep along the cost theme here. A loaf of bread was predicted to cost $25. I can still go to Walmart and pick up bread for like a buck. This is kind of funny. But in 1982, a book called The Omni Future Almanac predicted that by the year 2000, most Americans would be experiencing a new prosperity. Rapid developments in computers, genetic engineering, and service industries were predicted to result in lifestyle changes and a boost in the economy. But the authors of the book also believed that prices for common food items would increase drastically. For example, a book predicted that a loaf of bread would cost $8 and 0.5 kilograms, 1 pound of coffee, would cost $25. However, it was also envisioned that the average wage would rise. In 2010, secretaries were expected to be paid $95,000 per year, and factory workers would be paid $197,000 per year, approximately breaks down to $95 per hour. I wish I got $95 an hour, man. I wish that was minimum wage, but we finally hit like $11.15 in Tacoma. And then we'll go number four. That was number five. This one'd be neat. I've been playing a lot of Bioshock recently, so I can see where this would go wrong, but it'd be cool. Underwater housing would be an option, especially for those who enjoy water sports. In 1964, Isaac Asimov, one of the 20th century's best-known science fiction writers, visited the World's Fair in New York. Inspired by the visit, he published an essay in the New York Times predicting that the world would be, or what the world would look like in 50 years' time. Asimov believed by 2014, it would mark a beginning of the colonization of the continental shelves. Underwater dwellings would be a popular housing option with a particular appeal to those who enjoy water sports. Underwater housing would be supposedly encouraged as a more efficient exploitation of ocean resources, both food and mineral. Asimov also thought that the suburban underground houses with easily controlled temperature, free from the vicissitudes of weather, with clean air and light controlled, would become common. Thankfully, that's not the case. So, hobbit houses would be dope. Like, ones built underground, right? Like hobbits live in. I don't know how else to describe that. But that'd be dope. But not one completely underground, like a vault from, I'm thinking, like, Fallout. Underwater houses, again, would be dope. I wouldn't want to be 80 leagues under the sea, but something where, like, you'd go into, like, an elevator, and you'd be completely submerged. That'd be pretty dope. You're listening to The Buzz on 89.9 KGRG. That was number 6, 5, and 4 on our 6-pack. We'll be back with 3, 2, and 1 after Joyce Manor.
And now, back to the 6-pack.
KGRG FM, KGRG FM, HD1 Auburn, also broadcasting on K207 AP, 70 Lake Taps, 89.3 FM. You're listening to the Buzz Morning Show. We're in the middle of our six-pack, our top six list of things that are awesome, occasionally not so awesome. And this morning's, it's been awesome. I'm not going to lie. As I said at the beginning of the six-pack, I'm really interested in what people think the future might look like. And yeah, we've progressed, but we're nowhere near what some people thought we were going to be, man. Like, by 2016, people were thinking we're going to have flying cars, we're going to have food in pill form. Like, stuff was going to be insane, man. We're going to have hoverboards. Haven't had a hoverboard. Well, we have quote-unquote hoverboards. They just don't float. They set your feet on fire, right? But our six-pack this morning, if you missed the part one, you can go listen on demand, but we'll do a recap. It's the top six crazy futuristic predictions. Number six was houses will only cost $5,000 and last only 25 years. But if I buy a house, I'm probably not going to last that much longer anyways, right? Number five was that a loaf of bread would cost about $25. But also predicting that the minimum wage for a factory worker would be $96 an hour. Neither has happened yet. I can still go to any grocery store and buy a loaf of bread for like a buck. And then number four, which, because I'm a huge Bioshock fan and I'm playing through the remastered edition, really sounded interesting, but it was predicted that underwater housing would be an option, especially for people who enjoy water sports. I don't enjoy water sports, but I enjoy underwater houses, so there you go. Number three, being somebody who, I'm not going to say I used a lot of glue because that sounds bad, but I used to build models all the time, man. And then my dad's super hands-on-y, and he's all about, like, fixing things, and he's got just a garage full of tools. So this one's a little unsettling. Number three is predicted that nails and hammers would be replaced by magic glue. In 1960, American Weekly magazine ran a feature describing how people imagine life would be in 10 years. Their predictions of future homes were particularly cool, albeit completely wrong. People thought that the houses would be automated color-changing roofs, which would be sick, right? The roofs would transform from a light color on warm days to a darker color on cold days to regulate the heat inside the house. Makes sense. But it was also believed that the nails and hammers would be replaced by super glue, but with far cooler super glue than we have today. A drop of this futuristic glue on a bar of iron would be enough to hold it up a car with four passengers. Yeah, that glue still doesn't exist, and if it did, I can see people trying to huff it and just killing their brains. But again, glue's never gonna replace good old screws and nails and whatnot. There's no better feeling than when you hit a nail successfully. Like, I've hit plenty of nails the wrong way and like bent them and stuff like that. I used to do these classes at Home Depot when I was a kid, where you just like go and you'd build a birdhouse or you'd build a toolbox or something adorable like that. You get a little orange apron. It was fun, but there's no better feeling than when you're going to hammer stuff and you get right, you nail it on the head, right? It's an expression for a reason. So nails aren't going anywhere anytime soon, especially not to any non-existent welding glue. Number two, this one looks like a lot of fun, not going to lie. Number two is that motor cars will be replaced with flying bicycles. Not even like flying cars, just flying bicycles. In 1909, the New York Times asked French oculist Henri Antoine Jules Boyce, I probably butchered that because I never took French, for his vision of the future. The philosophical prophet predicted that the motor cars would be forgotten in 100 years and completely replaced with flying bicycles, which would allow citizens to traverse the air at will. Boyce further went on to say that almost nobody would remain in the cities at night. Cities would become associated with business only. As a result, everyone would opt to live in the countryside or in garden towns. Boyce believed that flying bicycles, flying cars, and pneumatic railways would eventually become so prevalent that the question of transit time would be completely unimportant when choosing one's home. And if that were the case where we're in such a good spot transitly, I guess you'd say, I guess that's an adjective you'd use. I'm not an English major. But if things were, like, if I had the option to take a light rail or something to work, I work weird hours. So if that was constantly an option, that'd be great. I know that there are cities where, like, in New York, you can take the subway pretty much any time of day and get where you need to go. But up here in Seattle and surrounding areas in the South Sound, even in Tacoma, sometimes you're lucky enough to find like public transit that'll run long enough for you to get around the city that you're in. But if you need to go from like Tacoma to Auburn late at night, let's say you need to go at midnight for some reason because you work overnight, that's not going to happen. You're going to have to call an Uber or something. So I wish that were the case, but most people have to live relatively close to where they work, which is a bummer. As for like the flying bicycles and stuff, I don't think he saw the way we have our aerospace industry right now, where planes can basically fly around the world and get you where you need to go. I don't think the bicycles would fare very well. It'd be a cool idea. The picture I'm looking at, there's a dude riding, it looks like, it's not a tricycle because it has four wheels, but it's like a dude with some balloons and he's got a fan on his back. If it was a little bit more wind resistant or weather resistant, that'd be dope. I would fly a flying bicycle. I would definitely do that. Number one here, and this one, it's a little Mormon, not gonna lie. Not Mormon, morbid. Morbid with a B. Mormons are cool people. I've met a couple of cool Mormons. But number one, it's kind of scary. Mosquitoes and flies would be extinct. And with like bees being put on the endangered species list, this is definitely a weird one. But in 1900, the Ladies' Home Journal published an article by John Elfrith Watkins Jr. titled, quote, "What May Happen in the Next 100 Years?" The article was eerily accurate in some of its predictions, such as mobile phones and pre-prepared meals, but not so accurate in others. One thing the article got wrong was the prediction that mosquitoes and flies would be practically exterminated. It was believed that the boards of health would destroy all mosquito haunts and breeding grounds, drain the stagnant pools, fill in all swamplands, and chemically treat all stillwater streams. Speaking of things that should no longer exist, the article also suggested that the letters C, X, and Q would be abandoned because they would be unnecessary. My name starts with a C, damn it, screw you! Interestingly enough, the author also believed that almost everybody would be able to walk 16 kilometers, about 10 miles at a stretch. Anyone who couldn't would be regarded as a weakling. I mean, walking 10 miles, that's a long ways. Between my retail job and just how much I walk in general, I also take my dog for walks, stuff like that, and like, you walk around the supermarket. If you were to have a step counter, 10 miles would be easy. But just saying, you know what, I'm gonna go for a 10-mile walk. For me, that's like a hiking adventure and like a multi-day one of that. I'd hike 10 miles, go camping somewhere, and then hike the rest of the loop or something. But after taking a natural resources class, being without flies and mosquitoes, being without any sort of insect or any sort of animal, drastically changes the way an ecosystem functions, and especially if it was global. Without mosquitoes, you lose out all the things that prey, that use mosquitoes as food. Same thing with flies, right? Flies are annoying, but unfortunately they serve a purpose. Without flies and mosquitoes, you take out a large chunk out of like a spider's food chain. So that it would cause diseases to go down because like last year in 2016, you have the Zika epidemic, right? And where did Zika come from? It was mainly spread around through mosquitoes. So eliminating mosquitoes would eliminate Zika, right? But again, you still lose out on all the things that prey upon it. So whenever you see those posts about animals going extinct or something like that, or like animal populations declining, do your research first. Don't believe everything you read on the internet because quote unquote fake news or whatever. But definitely take it into consideration. If an animal were to go, it sucks. Sucks hard. But that's your six pack this morning, the top six crazy futuristic predictions that should have happened by now. Weigh in. Call me at 253-833-5004. I am going to go ahead at 8:20 and list off some of my favorites that I kind of wish would happen. Even like some of the science fiction-y stuff. You can call me at 253-833-5004. Tweet at me or message me on Facebook and Twitter at TheBuzzKGRG. Let me know what futuristic thing were you excited about that hasn't happened yet. It could even be sci-fi and something you don't expect to ever happen. You're listening to The Buzz. We'll be back after Dance Gavin Dance. 89.9 KGRG FM. You're listening to The Buzz. That was A New Hope by Blink-182. And something I've been hoping for is lightsabers. In case you missed it, our six-pack this morning was the top six crazy, super crazy, futuristic predictions that people back in, like, I think the earliest prediction we had was from 1982. And they're all predicting stuff that should be happening in 2000, right? If you look at movies like Back to the Future, where you have hoverboards, you have hover cars, you have cartoons back in the day like Looney Tunes, where you have, again, hover cars. Hover cars is a big thing, or at least flying cars. You have the Jetsons, where you have food in pill form and stuff like that. The future didn't turn out how people thought. We're still relatively underdeveloped if you base it off of those predictions, but I really want a lightsaber. It's been, and again, this is a futuristic prediction. If you're technically a big Star Wars nerd like I am, Star Wars happened in the past, but lightsaber would be cool. I'm not, even if you had, little tiny Swiss Army knife version where, you could use it to cut stuff, like cheese or branches or something. I don't know. It'd be dope, though. Even a mini version, not a full sword, because that'd get violent. The other thing that I think would be neat is actual hoverboards. Now, I have wireless Bluetooth headphones. I also have traditional wired headphones. I switched to the Bluetooth headphones because when I was working retail, I had to stock shelves, and occasionally the cord for my corded headphones would get stuck on something and get ripped out of my ears, and it was painful. So having the wireless headphones was awesome because that never happened, but then you are then restricted by your battery life. If I use up all my battery just listening to music when I'm driving, I can't use it as a hands-free device and call somebody. Similar thing with the hoverboard, right? With the hoverboard, you're sort of limited to just what the charge is on your hoverboard. If you want to go on an extended trip, like I know that a lot of people love doing those downhill things on longboards. With a longboard, you have wheels. You can go until your leg gives out, and even then you can just sort of use your hands to pedal yourself around. Once your battery or whatever you use to power your hoverboard runs out of fuel or whatever power source you have, you're just sort of stuck carrying it. As far as hover cars are concerned, we're going to definitely get driverless cars before we get hover cars, which is a bummer. I am personally not the biggest fan of driverless cars, and that's more of, it's less of a Skynet's going to take over and ruin us all sort of thing, and more along the lines of I just like driving. Ever since I was a kid, I would ride dirt bikes, I would ride quads, I'd ride go-karts. I always was driving something because my dad was a mechanic. And losing the ability to drive on your own, that's half the fun. I wouldn't mind taking naps while driving. I enjoy taking naps while other people drive, and it's one of my favorite pastimes. But I don't want something else driving for me. I can't do it. I prefer to actually have the option to drive. The last thing that I'll touch on, I don't think I ever want food in pill form. I think that as a survival ration or as a survival thing, yeah, it'd be neat. Emergency food in pill form, you could definitely store a lot more that way. But nothing? I couldn't imagine a pizza in pill form, right? Or rehydrated pizza. It wouldn't be the same as going to a pizza shop and actually getting one. So why don't you give me a call at 253-833-5004. And let me know, what futuristic thing would you like to have? Again, my favorite thing that I'd want is even just like a small version of a lightsaber. That'd be dope. Not a big fan of driverless cars. Hover car would be cool as long as I could drive it. Hoverboard, if it runs out of battery, you're just sort of screwed. So call me, 253-833-5004. I also put a post up on Twitter and on Facebook at TheBuzzKJRG. Shout out to Five, as she actually replied to our question of the day yesterday on what sort of things do you do to remind yourself of things. She writes on her arm with a Sharpie. I've seen it. It's weird. I can only imagine what their shower water looks like and just running black into the drain. That'd be terrifying. But we'll be back with the news after Black Honey by Thrice. You're listening to The Buzz.
Breaking news.
This hour's news is brought to you by KGRG Presents August Burns Red. On their 10-year anniversary tour of Messengers, they're going to be playing with Protest the Hero in Heart's Wake in 68 on Friday, January 20th at El Corazon. For tickets and more information, you can visit KGRG.com. Click on that really awesome, slick-looking event calendar. For more information on that show and other shows, we have tickets to give away. We have tons of tickets. Like I've said a lot today, basically any day of the week, if you're listening, we probably have tickets to give away. And I haven't gone to a show that I've paid for in a while because of the station. So make sure you're listening to KGRG, not only just during the buzz, but all day. I know that we have Uncommon Chords and we have Dead Air, both giving away tickets. Not August Burns Red, but they've got their own stuff they're giving away. So, that's that.
Woo!
Time to do our last news break of the day here. And we're gonna keep it pretty funny. I like to think I keep it pretty funny in general, but you sort of tick my funny bone. First news story we have, somebody, they took carpooling to a whole nother level here. An SUV ran through the wall, or ran through a wall, into a swimming pool. You can say that a North Carolina woman went carpooling. Police said that she accidentally drove her SUV through her garage and landed in the middle of her backyard swimming pool. Local news outlets reported that police in Apex said it happened Sunday night and that luckily no one was hurt. This is Apex, North Carolina. Police spokesman Captain Blair My Hand, as opposed to his hand or her hand or their hand, says the woman was returning home when her vehicle skidded on a patch of ice as she pulled into her driveway. The SUV crashed through the back of her garage, crossed the rear of her deck of her home, and dropped into the middle of the above-ground pool without knocking down the pool sides. Crews worked to repair the garage on Monday. My aunt says, based on the damage, it was likely the woman hit the gas instead of the brake accidentally. So, wasn't entirely the driveway's fault. It was more this lady. And I'd like to say I've done that before, but I haven't. Because I know my gas pedal from my brake pedal. I mean, I guess the closest thing I've come to this is my girlfriend's car. Her emergency brake is one of those handle ones, where in my truck, traditionally trucks have the pedal to the far left of the brake pedal. So I'm used to just sort of stomping my foot down to put the emergency brake in. But when I drove her car a couple days ago, I went to go press down for the brake pedal and nothing was there. And I sort of freaked out for a second. It was terrifying. But I guess this is a PSA on de-icing your driveway, especially if you have to walk around outside. Same thing with stairs. I've slipped on far too many stairs. So if your stairs don't have that weird, like, sandpaper texture to them, put some ice down and do yourself a favor, because you're going to break your butt. And it does not feel good. Next news story we have. A naked man is accused of a home break-in because he just wants some sesame seeds for his hamburger. A Largo resident woke up January 5th to find a naked man in his kitchen, police said. He noticed the damaged holiday decorations and prescription medications and forced the intruder out of his home on Simole Boulevard. Then he called the police. The suspected burglar, Martin R. Henderson, age 48 of Largo, told officers he had been smoking quote-unquote spice or synthetic marijuana and used a butter knife to pry open the door on the mobile home about 2:30 a.m., according to an arrest report. He said he broke in to get, quote-unquote, some sesame seeds for his hamburger. He faces charges of burglary and possession of burglary tools. I sympathize with this guy in the sense that, man, when you get the munchies, you get the munchies, or at least I do. Recently, last grocery shopping trip I took, because I adult sometimes, right? I got some lime-flavored tortilla chips and some bean dip. Went home. I partook in some recreational activities that are legal up here, and I ate about half that family-sized bag of chips. So, if you're gonna do those things, be responsible and get your munchies ahead of time. That's all I'm gonna say on that, man. Like, if you know you're gonna do that stuff, get your own munchies. And nobody's breaking in anybody's house for some sesame seeds. Who needs sesame seeds on their buns? When was the last time with the exception of the Big Mac, when's the last time McDonald's, like, had sesame seeds on their hamburgers, right? They have the weird smooth buns. Always weirded me out. Last news story we have for this hour in the day, I guess. Great grandmother, age 79, who shoplifts because she's bored, was convicted for the 39th time. Same lady. Same. So I had a great-grandmother who went on a 5-year shoplift spree because she was bored, has been convicted for the 39th time. Jane Humphreys, 79, also notched up 39 convictions because she wanted to get out of crew. The pensioner stole hundreds of pounds worth of products at several stores in Staffordshire and Cheshire in England. When asked why she had taken the goods worth 23.50 in pounds, I don't know how to read pound money, I'm sorry, that's English funny money to me. On December 12th in Stamford, she told police officers, "I don't know why I did it, I just took them, all right." Her probation officer, Darren Vernon, had previously told Canuck Magistrates Court Humphreys was alone because she lived by herself and was only in contact with one of her 7 children. She admitted 2 counts of theft on Friday after an arrest warrant had been issued for her when she failed to arrive on court on December 30th. Sentencing chairwoman of the bench, Mrs. Liza Eddington Bourne, said, quote, "You have got quite a prolific history from over the last few years, so it's difficult to know how to deal with it." So they've just decided they're going to fine her. Pensioner was fined £80 and was told to also pay £135 in costs and a £30 surcharge totaling to $255, because doing math on air is hard. I mean, way to live it up, old lady. What are you going to do with them, right? Like, if they're stealing for attention, I remember that we had a news story, this is a few months back, of another old lady who, it was on her bucket list to get a police ride, because she had never gotten arrested before. Once you get to that end, towards the end of your life, and you know what, you got nothing else to lose, what are they going to do, toss you in prison for life? How are you going to deal with those people? The best thing I can think of would be some sort of outreach program where you, like, maybe you put her in a home, not a prison, but a home. Or you enroll her in some sort of, like, buddy system, sort of like Big Brothers, Big Sisters, where you assign her a person to go check on her and hang out with her. I know that some parolees have to do this community service. Old people are fun, especially this old lady. I would hang out with this old lady. I wouldn't go on a, like, shopping lift spree with her, because that's illegal. But you know she's got some stories. I'd want to hear those stories, man. My grandpa's the same way. He is probably one of the most badass old people I know. He's been shot multiple times. He's been in bar fights. He's got so many stories and it's great. He's an ex-cop, so he hasn't shoplifted, or at least he doesn't shoplift now. And he sort of got all of his wild stuff out of the system early in his life. But it's those type of old people who I love hanging out with. That's the news for this hour. You're listening to The Buzz on 89.9 KGRG FM. We'll be out of here after Minus the Bear, Thrown Shapes. Welcome to the Black Parade by My Chemical Romance on 89.9 KGRG FM. Just sort of decided to play that song because I like it. But if you have songs you like, you can call in 253-833-5004. Make requests all day long. Even after the show, we got DJs here doing their thing. They're actually going to do some training next after me, so I got to get out of here soon. But, yeah, call, make a request. We love putting in music that you want to hear, and that's why we're here. Most corporate radio stations, unfortunately, they'll take your requests, but they might not actually play it until later. Us, on the other hand, man, we'll play your requests all ding-dong day. I know yesterday I had, like, 4 different requests, and that's all I did for the end of the show. So definitely help us out. Let us know what you want to hear, because we want to make it fun for you to listen to. It's 253-833-5004. Same number you need if you want to win tickets, stuff like that. But like I said, I have a Journalism 110 student looking to come in here, do some training, learn how to do this radio thing like I did so many years ago. It's been over a year now, God. Oh, man. So if you missed any part of this show, yesterday's show, or maybe you want to listen to a show that we did a year ago, you can visit KGRG.com, click that on-demand tab, find The Buzz. All of our on-demand stuff is there, including this episode will be up relatively soon. I get them up by 10 o'clock. But until tomorrow morning, when we have the guys from Not So Much About a Show, Matt and Tim calling in, doing some geeky news with us, I'm always excited to talk to those guys. We got that going on. We have the return to this segment that I still need a name for. I might just call it The Situation or something. Well, that sounds unpleasant. Give me your suggestions. We also have the question of the day. What's something futuristic that you've been looking forward to that hasn't been created yet? That's at the Buzz KGRG on Facebook and Twitter. Till tomorrow morning, bright and early, 6 a.m. on 89.9 KGRG FM. This has been The Buzz. We got I've Been Lost for So Long by American Football up next.